Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S. The number four, the letter U.com. If you're about to start on a road trip, whether to go to college or for your last vacation of the summer, today's show will cover the five things you need to know to prepare your car for an extended journey. Not only will you have a safer trip if you follow these tips, but you will also save money on your transportation expenses. If you can check these things on your car on a regular basis, preparing for a long trip will be quick and easy. Here are the few things you need to do. One, check your tires. Most tires made today have something called a wear bar that runs across your tire tread that appears when it is time to replace your tire. If you wish to check your tire to see how much tread you have remaining, you can do the coin test using pennies or quarters. Remember to use this test on several places on your tires, at least 15 inches apart, to make sure all sections of the tire are wearing the same. Uneven wear can indicate issues with alignment on your tires and may require you to attend to that before you get on the highway for an extended period of time. Using a penny, place it in the tread and check two things. Is Lincoln's head covered by the tread when the penny is placed with his head down into the tread? Or is it just touching the top of his head? If it only touches the top of his head, then it is time to replace your tires. It means you only have 2/32nds of a tread left, which in most states is considered a bald tire. If it partially covers his head, then you may want to look at the other side of the penny, the Lincoln Memorial side, to see if the top of that structure is covered, indicating you have sufficient tread for driving in water or snow. That would be 6/32nds of a tread depth, just so you'll know. For illustrations of these tests, you can go to the websites of TireRack.com, Goodyear.com, Firestone.com, or you can go to YouTube, where they also demonstrate this as well, in order to learn more. Make sure that when you replace your tire, you do so with a tire that is recommended in your manual for your vehicle. If you don't have a manual for your vehicle, then look up your make and model and year and search for the tire that's appropriate for that car. Even with gasoline at some of the lowest prices in years, everyone wants to save money on gas and extend the time between filling up the car with fuel. One of the most important things you can do is check your tire pressure every time you fill up and make sure you comply with the suggested pressure shown in the car manual. This same information can be found inside the frame of the driver's door, giving you the pressures for both the front and the rear tires. Keep in mind that you want to check the pressure when your tires are cold, meaning before you drive more than a few miles. When daytime temperatures are reaching into the 100-degree level or higher, you do not want to fill up your tires after you've been on the highway or warmed up your tires. The air in your tires is made up of molecules that, when cold, contract and move around very slowly. However, when tires are warm and the outside air temperature is hot, then the molecules expand and move around very quickly. Filling your tires when they're hot or when the outside temperature is high can put you at risk for a blowout, leading to a flat tire, making driving dangerous and putting you at risk on the side of the road when you have to change a tire. Make sure also that your spare tire is properly inflated, even if it's a donut or full-size spare, and that you have all the parts for the jack in your car before you start to load things into your vehicle. Many cars require a special tool to remove the bolts that affix the tire to the car, so make sure you have that part with you before you start off on the road as well. Some models include a compressor and a can of fixative that plug whatever hole you might have and then refill the tire. Make sure these items are in the car with you if these apply to your make and model. If you do find yourself with a flat tire, remember to pull off to the right side of the road, and if possible, take an exit and get off the highway. One of the things that we do for our daughters and for ourselves is we have a membership in AAA. Many cars now come with a roadside assistance package, so that's already included in what you've already paid for the car. You may have to renew every year, but it may be something that you'd like to send your college freshman off to school with. So if in their adventures in the car, they find that they have a flat tire or they need some help on the side of the road, they have a number they can call. Of course, no one's going to appear immediately. It may take several hours for someone to reach you. So knowing how to change a tire and what's involved with it is a good thing for everyone to learn how to do. Check your fluids. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles or at the intervals recommended by the manufacturer is key to maintaining your car. Before you head on the road, you may want to take your car in to have the oil changed and have all your fluids checked and either changed or topped off depending on what's needed. Make sure you have sufficient coolant in your radiator to weather the 100-degree temperatures we're seeing all over the map. Most radiator fluid nowadays also protects your engine in cold weather. So if you're sending your student up north with a car they will be driving in ice and snow, make sure the fluid you use will protect against high and low temperatures as well. In addition, you'll want your windshield wiper fluid to be full as well, and check those wipers to make sure they're clean and functioning too. If you get stuck in a gully washer of a rainstorm, you'll need those wipers to work well, so replace them if they aren't working as well as you'd like. Wiper fluid usually includes a chemical that will prevent it from freezing in very cold weather, but make sure that applies to the brand that you're using in the car you'll be driving your student north and that they'll be driving during freezing weather. If your car is over 5 years old, then the brake fluid, transmission fluid, and power steering fluid should all be checked. Otherwise, ask for these to be checked and topped off as well when you go in for an oil change. Most dealerships, car shops, and oil lube places can check all these fluids for you for a bit more than the price of an oil change. 3. Put together a road trip kit. Before you start to load the car, make sure you leave a little extra room for a small box containing the following items: duct tape, heavy-duty plastic zip ties, a pair of shears or heavy-duty scissors to use to cut the tape or the ties. In addition, include emergency reflectors that you can set up in front and back of your car if you stop on the road after dusk or at night. Make sure you have a flashlight with fresh batteries. Test it before you put it in the car and make sure the light is bright enough that you can see well enough if you need to change a tire in the dark. A pair of gloves will come in handy if you have to change a tire also, since the one you take off may be very hot from its time on the road. 2.5 gallons of water to be used in an emergency to fill your radiator or for you to drink, along with those gloves, will go a long way to getting you somewhere you can get professional help. A tarp that is big enough to give you some shade if you have to be on the side of the road for an extended period of time during the heat of the day is also a good thing to include in your emergency kit. In addition to these things in your car, I also recommend a small to medium ice chest filled with enough water for everyone in your group, along with some granola bars, dried fruit, and salted nuts in case you need something to eat or drink along the way. Also, aspirin and ibuprofen will take care of most aches and pains that would come from sitting in a car for an extended period of time. Paper towels, hand sanitizer, or wet wipes are also good if you're in the car for a while. Most new cars are equipped with navigation systems, yet after a short trip I took in the mountains recently, I think having a real paper map is a good thing to keep with you while you're traveling. Even though you can use your smartphone to help you too, not all areas have cell coverage. And if you find there's a traffic snarl ahead, or if you don't know where you're going, it may behoove you to have a good map showing a lot of the farm-to-market or state highways that can allow you to take a detour and still reach your destination in a timely fashion. Besides, sometimes it gets really boring to drive the most direct route from one point to another, and you may want to have a bit of adventure while you're on the road. 4. Load the car properly. If you're loading up your car with people, boxes, and other items, check the manual to see what the manufacturer recommends as to how you should load the car, and if there is a recommended maximum weight limit that your tires can carry. Remember, your tires are kind of like your shoes. So not only do you want to keep them in really good shape, but you also want them to give you the kind of support you need and have the amount of tread and the support to be able to carry you the distance that you're going and to carry your weight comfortably. I drive a Mini Cooper, and my manual specifies that there's a limit to the combined weight of passengers plus luggage. This information is located on the door frame of the driver's door. If I want to load four suitcases in my car, then I can only carry one person. With four people, I can only carry one large suitcase. Two people can travel with three suitcases. Make sure that you load your vehicle correctly, using cargo nets, tie downs, bungee cords, and seat belts to keep packages in place, minimizing the risk of things moving around if you have to make a sudden stop or swerve around debris in the road. Make sure the driver can see out the rearview mirror and each of the side mirrors as well. If not, then change the way things are packed in the car. Being able to drive safely is of utmost importance. If you drive a hatchback, then make sure you have something to cover up all of your cargo, like a blanket or a sunshade, if your car is not equipped with a way to hide your boxes and luggage when you stop for food. Be careful when you exit your car to hide any laptop computers, purses, or cell phones from sight before you leave your car and lock it up. Don't pull those things out of the car and then put them in the hatchback where they can be seen or where anyone watching the parking lot can watch you take your valuable items out and then put them back into the car. So try to think like someone who's casing the joint, so to speak. If you have to stop overnight, be prepared to unload all of your belongings so you will not entice thieves to break into your vehicle while you're away from it. This is one of the things that's really key. It may be easy to, you know, throw individual items into the car, but it may be more appropriate for you to have a box or boxes to put those things in, so that basically they're easy to take in and out when you get to the point where you're going to unload, or you get to the point where you have to move them into your motel or hotel room for the night to basically protect those items from being stolen. 5, plan your stops. When I drove back and forth to college over the years, I tried different routes simply to keep myself from losing interest in the scenery passing by. I learned a lot about different small towns here in Texas by doing that, and saw quite a few historic sites as well. If you're taking your student to college for the first time, you may want to try a scenic route, let them drive, or explore some historic sites along the way. Make sure you allow enough time to get to your destination with time to spare. You don't want your teen to be angry with you because they missed their move-in deadline. If you're going in caravan because you need to take more than will fit in one car, then discuss the route you will take ahead of time and when and where you will make your fuel stops, food stops, and where you will spend the night if that is needed. If this is the first time that your teen has driven for an extended period of time on the highway and they're going to be taking their car and leaving it with them at school, then you really want to give them a chance to take a break. First of all, they may get fatigued more quickly because they're not used to driving on the highway. Everyone needs to stretch. It's really a good idea to plan these stops ahead of time, even if you find later that you really didn't need to stop. Have a plan to check in via cell phone at certain intervals, say before entering busy city traffic from the countryside, to have a plan to deal with any traffic problems or to rendezvous for a meal or hotel stop for the day. If your car allows you to talk hands-free, use that system. If not, ask your passenger to handle the phone and calls while you are en route. Never text and drive. If you must use your cell phone while driving, please pull over at a rest stop to make your call or enter text or to respond to emails. If this is your last trip for the summer vacation season, then keep in mind you may want to reserve your hotel or motel room ahead of time. Many people are out on the roads on the weekends and places fill up quickly. Plan your driving time to allow you to stretch your legs at least every 2.5 to 3 hours. When you stop to fill up with gas, get a bite to eat, let the dogs out, then take a 5 to 10 minute walk to stretch your legs, do a few shoulder rolls, and work the kinks out of your back, knees, and neck. If you're moving from one time zone to another or from north to south or vice versa, remember the sun will be setting either earlier or later depending on where you are traveling. Plan to stop for the day before you're struggling to find your way in the dark. Landmarks, street signs, and other directional assists are often hard to find when you're looking for them at dusk or after dark. If you're driving to the dorm or a new apartment, make sure both you and your student know the route you're going to take before you get into the car. Be prepared for busy parking lots, long lines to unload, and hopefully plenty of smiling upperclassmen to help you with your load. Take advantage of the help, refreshments, and snacks provided to you when you deliver your student to the dorm. It is a bittersweet moment. So proud they've made it this far, yet sad to see them leave your nest. Give them a hug, send them on their way, and be proud of what they've accomplished. I hope these tips help you to have a safe and calm trip to college or a safe road trip for your vacation. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou, that's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, number4letteru.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.